We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's 5 o'clock on the most listened to sports talk show for your ride home.
What?
It is time for
the Falcons Report.
Whoa!
Casey got another pick. Here's Julio down the far sideline and will score. Sacked. Grady Jarrett got another one.
You shall not pass.
The 5 o'clock Falcons Report.
Oh my heavens!
On Dukes and Bell.
We are Dukes and Bell. We start off every day and every hour by saying, Hey, man. It is good to have you listening. Hope you grab some Hey Man Ale for the weekend. Mike Bell, it is going to be a great weekend, too. As far as sports is concerned, you've got, obviously, Braves tonight. We can finish things up. Astros guys are making it interesting, by the way, in the ALDS.
Right.
And it could go either way there with the Rays and Astros. Obviously, Alabama, Georgia, big game, 2-3. And it looks like, Mike, with this negative test, that Saban may be on the sideline?
Yeah, there's a lot of rumors out there that, again, you heard the soundbite and some of the stuff I read to you earlier in the dog report that Saban's like, well, it seems to me like there's probably a way you could do this, coach on remote. So, look, if he's got the positive, negative positive, false positive, if he's fine, if he's asymptomatic and he's negative, then they'll let him coach. Because, you know, if there's a will, there's a way. The SEC, Saban was upset that there's no way he could be on the sideline or at least do some kind of a virtual coaching where Carly be in direct contact with the guys on the sideline. But now reports out of AL.com that Saban might actually just be there on Saturday night.
So we'll keep an eye out. But that news coming down today. If you're just joining us, we spent a lot of time talking about the Braves, and rightfully so. An incredible win last night. Let's hope they can finish this thing. We have three games to win one. All the pressure is on the Dodgers. It's been on the Dodgers. And our guys continue to deliver. We will talk more about this coming up in our Strong Arm Story of the Day and let you hear from Brian Snicker about his decision to kind of go with this bullpen game tonight as A.J. Minter will start. That's on the way. If you missed Charles Barkley today on the show, or maybe you missed Dave Archer talking about the Falcons, or Steve Coonan who just came on, all those interviews on radio.com along with Joe Patrick as well. Mike, let's talk about the Falcons. I just want to have a conversation about where we were a week ago and where we are now. Last week, we were talking about the what-ifs and if we lost this game and would it be the tipping point? Well, it was, and for the reason why it took so long for some of you, Arthur Blank, our owner, discussed it this week, or last week, should I say, in his press conference, saying that, you know, coming into the season, Dan knew it was playoffs or bust, and this was obviously not going anywhere at this particular moment. So he felt now was the right time, even with what happened last season. So now a week later, we have a new head interim head coach in Raheem Morris. Staff changes, but not a complete overhaul. We had the facility shut down for a day, which was, you know, again, virtual workouts and Zoom and all that.
Was, somebody in the office wasn't a player.
Yeah, and everything's back to normal. And now you got the Vikings waiting. So I look at this, Mike, as, and I don't want to use the word drama, but that's what it's been for our football team and certainly our fan base. There's been a lot of drama here the last, you know, 7 or 8 days, especially coming off of these losses. Do these guys respond?
Yeah, because as we said in the Houston Texans, we spoke with Arch. You know, they lose their head coach, and a lot of guys are happy to see him out the door, and it's a different vibe. He had been the play caller, different approach, and Romeo Crennel comes in, and they get a win. This is a Minnesota team which is fighting for their playoff lives. I mean, they're just a few steps down the road from like being as bad as we are. So they've had some injuries. They've got a good offensive line, so they should still be able to do what they want to do. Their defense is always their calling card up front. So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be a tough matchup. I mean, you feel, and this is like, you know, I know it's, I don't mean it as a joke, Carl, but the movie Any Given Sunday, we always joke around about Al Pacino. Where's your pride, Willie? You know, you're part of something. I mean, we presume that these guys are, because they're professionals, earning big money with commas and commas in their paycheck, that they take this stuff very seriously. To me, it goes back to personnel. Maybe we're just not all that good. You know, because that's what, I mean, if we get out there and we blow doors and play four quarters, you're going to go, well, where the hell has this been the last 18 months?
No doubt. And part of me wants to see that, and then another part of me doesn't, because it's going to frustrate me even more to say, why did it take this, if that's what happened, to get to this point? It shouldn't have happened that way. And again, it'll be one game, and it's a small sample space. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day, they said, Dukes, what if they go on a 7 or 8 game run? I'm going to be mad as hell. Because I have to ask myself, if you're going to go on a 7 or 8 game run with this personnel, where the hell was that? And the answer, Mike, would then be what? Coaching.
Right.
So if you're going to tell me that this team is going to go on a 7 or 8 game run, yeah, that will feel good because, you know, we're not the last place losers. And everybody's not talking about us, but the other part of me is, where has this been? And if that's the case, and that does happen, and we say, man, we see the difference in this team, and look at the coaching, well, then we should have pulled the trigger way earlier than when it happened.
Well, here's something interesting, by the way. Our Falcon Report brought to you by Domino's. Don't forget, guys, they've got some great stuff going on right now, because if you want to order out, Carl, and you want to get, like, you know, tacos or pizza, I should say a cheeseburger, it just doesn't carry well. Now they got it on the pizzas, man. Chicken taco and cheeseburger, especially pizzas. Get all the details when you go to Domino's.com. I still don't understand how the coaching works on defense. We're not playing great defense. Jeff Ulbrich, the DC, will continue to split play calling with Raheem Morris. According to D. Led earlier this afternoon from the AJC, just like the way they did it earlier, Ulbrich will call first and second down, and Raheem will call third down.
You don't like it.
It just doesn't make any sense to me. I just don't get it. I don't know. You know, you're the play caller. You call first down and second. I'll take third down. I don't know. To me, there's going to be a rhythm. I would think there's a rhythm to it, never having done it at the professional level, other than, you know, me with my Fisher-Price headsets coaching Pop Warner in Miami. I don't know, Carl. I just don't think you want to split that stuff up.
Well, I like to believe you can have various guys in on planning. What I mean by that is every coach has a job. You know, you're looking at certain formation secondaries, or should I say wide receivers. You're trying to see how to help contain certain guys. Everybody can chime in on how to do that, Mike. But then on Sunday, I need one call. And I know that there's been a lot going on, but I'm not surprised, because if you remember in the Raheem press conference, Raheem Morris, he said, Jeff and I have a system that works for us. He didn't say he was going to change that. He just kind of said, and I remember tweeting at Jason Butt, who works for the AJC now, and I said, that doesn't sound like he's changing anything, because he's not. So he was like, we have a system that works for us, and we'll continue to see how that system goes. Well, now we know that it's going to continue. But let's be honest. This isn't about the calling of the plays. This is about results. If our team was winning, we wouldn't care two blanks about how these plays were being called in the ears of our players. But because we're not winning, Mike, and we're not performing, we're looking at every little thing going, why do you do that? And if it's not working now, what makes you think it's going to work moving forward?
It's just frustrating as a fan, because, you know, we know we've got enough offense to put the points on the board. And yeah, I have to tell you guys, we're just saying we're not finishing, and the defense is not getting after it. We're not going to really... I mean, I presume we're going to see something happen here. Dante Fowler, speaking to D-Led, said there's been more intensity with practice. I know you and a lot of folks had asked, well...
Yeah, we're talking about practice.
I know, but everyone says apparently there's... Again, maybe they've been shamed. They all love Dan Quinn, and Dan Quinn Monday, like, guys, I don't get to be around you anymore. If I was Quinn, I'd be like, you know what? Blank all he is. You didn't play hard. I'm glad you love me, but you didn't do jack. But anyway, can't do that. D-Led says that, according to Dante Fowler, the intensity has been ramped up a little bit more. Raheem is kind of making us a little bit uncomfortable. Hello.
Thank you.
Accountability, making us be able to practice really well in practice, so Sunday won't be new to anything. I like the sound of that. Hawkins, the rookie safety, has got a concussion. He's out, and Tack won't see him anytime soon, the groin injury. But we did mention earlier, Julio will be back.
Julio! I hadn't said that in weeks.
Right.
Julio! I hadn't said it on Twitter in weeks. When are we going to see some production from Julio?
Yeah, I mean, you know, not for nothing, Julio. You know what? Screw this. You've taught me now. The gloves are off on Dukes and Bell. There's no more. What do you call it?
No more qualifying.
You know, Julio, you wanted that raise, and I understand the hamstring is a long, painful injury to come back from, and only time will heal it. But okay, buddy boy, your coach is fired, and the season's in the crapper. But you know, and now we're talking about Matt and you getting traded. Yeah, I'd like to see how you feel about that on Sunday against the Vikings.
Yeah, man, you don't have to say. He's a great guy. You don't have to say how much you love him. This is something we talked about earlier in the week. We know everybody doesn't listen all the time, so we're rehashing this. Right. You don't have to say qualifiers to make yourself feel good because it's only about you. If he's not playing well, he's not playing well. Say it! It's okay, all right? If a guy isn't playing well, he's not playing well. If a guy's not doing the job, he's not doing the job. We have to stop that, Atlanta. We've got to stop that. You know, and at the end of the day, I had a buddy tell me, he said, Dukes, I heard you guys talking about this the other day. He said, you know what it reminded me of? They called me in. He said, I got called in, and my boss said, you know, we really think a lot of you. But I still got fired. I said, yes, it didn't make it any better, did it? He goes, no. I walked out, and I still hated it. I hated everybody in the room, but it still happened. I don't care about all that other stuff. This is sports. It's a competition. It's about winning. We have to start thinking that way when it comes to people in this business and in this city. Is that lack of compassion? No. I think Dan Quinn's a hell of a man. I think he's a hell of a man. I really do. I love him as a human being, and he's shown a lot of compassion in things that he's done
right.
in the city. But I can separate those things. If I see DQ in the street, I'm going to give him a pound and a hug because I know what kind of man he is. That has nothing to do with what his record was as a Falcon.
No, you're exactly right. And that's the thing when we get back to the Dante Fowler comment to D-Lade. Remember, Dante, this is his first year. He's only been here. Again, there was no OTAs. There was no summer camp like we're used to because, obviously, of COVID. So he just knows Dan for the short period. And what does he tell D-Lade? Yeah, intensity was ramped up a bit more. And the coach is making us uncomfortable. Which, I mean, again, I don't want to knock on Dan, but this is something we always ask. We've asked the question, does the brotherhood thing, because it's great when you want to lean on a teammate and there's accountability, but... does it make guys feel a bit complacent because Dan does know about your Aunt Tilda and Dan is your boy and he's your, I'm not saying that makes it, you know, you can win like that. Pete Carroll does that. But I mean, to me, this is just one of those things where you hear the comments from, the Squid Billy, get in my ear. The defensive lineman we had the other day, who was from the Saints, that came over, Davison, was saying how, you know, it's a dictatorship with Sean Payton. It's a different dynamic. And over here, it's a looser vibe with Quinn. I'm not saying that that's the only reason we haven't produced, but you wonder, though, Carl, where is the mindset of the accountability with these guys?
Well, it's one of the things we've talked a lot about. It's our Falcon Report, guys. By the way, you notice we didn't tell you a score. We didn't tell you anything about this game. I have no clue. I won't even sit here and fool you about what team's going to show up with what I've seen over the last 5 weeks. I'm going to sit back Sunday, and I'm going to see what happens. Monday, Mike and I will have the coaches show and the players segment for you. We are hoping we get Raheem Morris on a weekly basis as we had Coach Quinn starting on Tuesday, and we'll analyze things. Show us. That's all I can say about the Viking game. I'm going to sit back and see where things go, Mike. Hey, man, coming up, strong arm story of the day. We'll dive into what the Braves did last night, and it was special.
The Strong Arm Story of the Day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
We are in control of the NLCS. Does it mean we will win it? No, we have to go win it. They're not going to give us anything. But as Mike has said all day, if you listen to Joe Buck, you might think that we were down in this series. We are not. And with that said, Mike, we have a chance to finish this series over the next three games. How it will play out, I don't know. We'll be watching and talking about it, yes. But tonight is going to be a little bit different than what you've seen over the last four games, at least, because there was a definitive starting pitcher that we were relying on to get us to a certain point in the game. Last night, Bryce Wilson went above and beyond. Mike, tonight you're going to patch some things together.
Yeah, man, that's what makes it such an incredible run that Joe Buck is ignoring while they're still giving you the shot. Well, obviously the Dodgers can always come back, of course, sports fans. We saw LeBron do it. But anyway, yeah, man, how about talking about the young, plucky Braves, you know, from the clutch hitting the sixth inning to guys, literally, if you add up all the innings, I don't think it even gives you, like, one picture that's been playing for the Dodgers, right, this season as a starting pitcher. You think about it, man. Kyle Wright, obviously, yeah, it didn't work out for him. Bryce Wilson had 43 innings in the bigs, 15 2/3 only this year. steps up, had poise, had focus, gave up the home run, just kept on rolling, got through, was it 9 pitches, Carl, in the second inning?
Yep.
I mean, just looked great. But now it's a different situation. This was the game we were all dreading. At some point, we were going to have to do one of these bullpen starts, but it's going to be A.J. Minter. A.J. Minter's been really good. He did give up a home run in that Dodgers made it close but didn't win in the comeback in game 2. How confident are you about A.J. Minter? Joe Patrick says it's really going to be one inning. He's really doubtful it would go any further than that.
Well, and I'm curious. Like I said, there is a plan. I know it may not seem like it, that Snitker has in the back of his mind that they've talked about as a staff. This is how we'd like for this thing to go. But it's really going to be dictated by the game. I mean, if you're telling me that he's pitching well, Mike, and you know, if you can get an extra inning out of him, you wouldn't do it? I don't know. I mean, that's the thing. This is where Snicker's going to earn his money tonight. And it's not, again, I don't want to go as far as saying if we lose this game that the series is down the drain. What I am going to tell you is how he manages this bullpen will set us up for the next couple of games. And so that may be the mindset too, which is, all right, Minter, you're only going an inning. And then we're going to go from there to, some of our middle relief guys to get us to the fourth or fifth. And then from there, we'll see what the back of the bullpen looks like. Maybe that is the plan. So we'll just have to watch and see. But he is going to have to maneuver a little bit tonight, and we'll see how it plays out.
Well, you know, the thing is, and this is why for guys out there that are saying, well, what's your fixation? You had a bunch of guys on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at 404-741-0929 saying, well, why do you guys think you should go with Fried? Just to get to win this, because it gives you a better chance. I still take Max Fried on short rest than trying to cobble together the bullpen start. I mean, Hinoa did a fantastic job the other night, so you really, I don't know, how much you think he'd have in the tank if they wanted to go to him at some point today? But, I mean, Matzik, he threw last night. I think Matzik, because he had been a starter before he had his issues with the yips, he might have been an option for you. It's just, you go with the best shot. Now, here's the thing. You got Fried and we got Ian Anderson, and that's great. But I still think, man, you got him on the ropes, put him away tonight with your best pitcher, even if it is on short rest.
How do you guys feel about this, by the way? 404-741-0929. I know many of you guys have chimed in on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. I said this the other day. I'm not going to back off of it, which is I always want to go with my best players in my biggest moments to try to finish it. I equate this to the Dodgers being on the ropes. And, you know, there's a minute, maybe less than a minute left in the round, and we've been punching like crazy. And do you then let off and start to jab while they're on the ropes, while they're teetering, to give them a breath? And I just think, you know, if it's me, I would go with Fried on short rest, and I would take the chance. Because here's the other side of that. I know you will always be criticized no matter the outcome, especially if you lose, Mike, if you snicker. But if you sent the best option out there as a fan base, what can we say? He was the best option.
No, and this is something we always knew, and this is why, guys, you know, when Cole Hamels doesn't work out and obviously King Felix, you know, opted out, which was his prerogative, this was always going to be a problem. No, I get it. We never knew about Soroka. That was a freak injury. I've said this a million times. Folty, I didn't have a lot of confidence in Folty. I didn't know it was going to be as dramatic as it was, that he was going to show up looking like he just, you know, I don't know, like he's the Incredible Shrinking Man. But, I mean, this is where, you know, not being able to pull a better deal than 10-run Tommy Malone, it kind of hurts you right now. Because this is not optimal, okay? We're not trying to be cute about this like the A's were a couple of years ago in the NLDS. This is tough to pull this off against a team that hits as well as the Dodgers. You see how they work the count. My God, are they setting a record for fouling off pitches? It's like every at-bat they make the pitcher work.
Yeah. Listen, the Dodgers.
But we're the one. But say, I'm not trying to be doom and gloom, guys. We're still up 3-1.
That's a good club.
And Dustin May, look, this is a big moment for Dustin May. He threw earlier. Yes, I get it. He throws 100-mile-an-hour stuff. Carl and I still like the idea of the Braves' first pitch swinging and reversing that idea of getting him out of there. But, let's go back to it for guys that missed it. You know he's going to be grooving some stuff, and we're a really good fastball-hitting team. How do you approach Dustin May tonight?
Well, you swing like you've been swinging. I think you know he's going to bring the heat and try to intimidate with going after guys. Very much so like Bryce did last night. You know, we hadn't really talked about this. There was an intimidation factor when you talk about how he was going after guys. There was nothing timid about his approach last night.
Right.
And when you're going after guys like that, what you're doing is the intimidation comes in challenging them. As a pitcher, okay, what happens is you're challenging them now. You're almost looking them. It's like a gunfight. You're staring them down and going, go ahead, hit it. I dare you. And I'm going to throw it again. And then the hitter starts to go, this dude's going to throw it again. And then he does. Strike! And you're going, I'll be damned. He threw it again. That's the intimidation that happens. And over a course of a couple of innings, Mike, now the next time you come up to bat, you're like, okay, I dare you to throw that heater. Strike! Go ahead, hit it. That's what was going on. I think that's going to happen tonight on their side. We got to hit it. He's going to try to do that to our guys tonight.
Right. I mean, you guys know these Dodgers, man. As we said, they got tons and tons of guys that can throw heat. But with the, as we said, the Braves have always handled the fastball. Freddie said after game one, between what they saw against the Reds, what they saw against the Marlins, they are well-versed in hitting this kind of stuff. So let's see what Mutant Carrot Top has up his sleeve tonight for the Dodgers. What a strange-looking individual.
Yeah. Well, you
I'm being
know,
PC,
man.
Let some redhead who's got a squinch face and really long hair get upset. But this guy looks like a mutant. Okay, this guy's like right out of the X-Men.
No, he's got a weird look, no doubt about it. But the dude can pitch, and we will see how it plays out. It is Dukes and
Bell. Oh, by the way, would I want him on the Braves? Yes, hell yeah, in a heartbeat. Yes.
Yeah, it's our strong arm story of the day, but it's going to be a lot of fun. It's been a lot of fun, man, and I hope you guys are enjoying this ride, right? We just everybody wants to like it right now, man. Let's just enjoy this thing. We're up 3-1. I'm going to enjoy tonight. If we don't get it done, we got two more games to get it done with our two best young pitchers going potentially over the weekend. That's a positive. Mm-hmm. So Bryce Wilson, the biggest thing he did last night outside of just being incredible and in the moment was he set the team up for success in a bigger way with what's happening today. You're not forced to make a decision on bringing back a guy on short rest. That's Bryce Wilson. That's what he did last night. And now you set up the bullpen to have success because, again, you didn't have to run through guys last night because he stayed out there a lot longer than you expected.
Man, it was unbelievable last night. That sixth inning just kept rolling. I mean, how much fun was that to watch? You know, Pache coming up big, obviously Ronald. I mean, you name it, everybody last night. But Ozuna with two home runs, and that got everybody chatting on Twitter and on social media about, man, we've got to find a way to keep this guy. I still want the – it's funny, a guy said, well, what if you could have Trevor Bauer or Ozuna? I go, I don't know, I'm Liberty Media. I've got more money than Davy Crockett. How about both? Okay. You know, because you know you could do that. I know some of you Braves fans, you've been beaten down over the years ever since Frank Rentz spent like a drunken sailor. We can never do that again. But if you do it for the right guys and you got a company that's worth $10 billion, you could do it if you had the wherewithal. If you know, I know Terry McGuirk, we give him credit for giving Alex a chance. To do what? Get 10-run Tommy Malone? We didn't go get the guy at the trade deadline. I understand. You weren't going to mortgage the big part of your future, Carl. But to me, you and I said this, it went back to December. It went back to the hot stove league when we needed to get another frontline starter that we desperately need tonight.
Yeah, I get it. I do. But these young guys have done the job. You're here. And whether we get there or not, I think the future's promising. But here's the thing.
How many chances are you going to have to go to the World Series to be up 3-1? I mean, I'm just saying.
Well, I am not conceding whatsoever, okay? I don't think that just because the future is bright that you say we'll do it again or we'll be here again. I'm not one of those guys. You got to own this right now. They're on the ropes. Are you going to keep swinging? Right. Or are you going to start jabbing now? So let's finish the fight. But I also think that we have to take into account that these young guys have done everything that we didn't think maybe they could do. And from that standpoint, I mean, you know, the Liberty Media and all that, so that'll handle itself, Mike. We'll worry about that. These young guys are balling, man. They're pitching well. They've got us here. I'm excited about what these guys are doing. I know what you're saying, but when the restructure of this team happens, well, you know, let's hope that's happening after we win the World Series. I'm curious to see how these guys continue to respond.
Look, man, these guys have been clutch. And that's the thing. That's what makes this so unprecedented because you see, as we said, think about the lack of experience that Bryce. Remember, Bryce hadn't pitched in weeks, and he's able to step up and do it. The job that obviously Ian Anderson has done and Kyle Wright, he's not defined by this. Look, there's a role for Kyle Wright. Maybe plays tonight. Because he only pitched an inning, Carl.
That's right.
You know,
that's
Kyle Wright can come back in. And again, I know some Braves fans will have their hearts in their throat, but he might actually
pitches,
have a chance. He may actually have a role to play here at some point. So keep your fingers crossed.
All right, man. We got some guy talk on the way. It's Friday!
Yeah, man. Alabama's Nick Saban. Was it all a master plan from the beginning, Carl? And more information now coming from behind the scenes with the Clippers. Who's the one player on the roster they all seem to hate?
time for fun. It's time for Guy Talk.
Yes! Never mind.
It's time for shenanigans.
Friday edition, guys. Hashtag Dukes and Bell Tailgate at Home 2020 brought to you by Buckhead Butcher Shop. Already a bunch of guys loading up to grill and putting some big slabs of meat out there. I know we're going to do some ribs tonight, some mac and cheese. Carl's going to go pot roast. So, yeah, man, we're going to have some good scents and smells flowing through the house today.
Yeah, I love, you know, fall. Obviously, I know most people do this time of year, but the deal for me is the smells. You talked about it. Brown liquor, whether you're, you know, having cocktails, but the smells in the house, depending on what you're cooking, man, with all the spices, the cookies, all the stuff that just go along with fall and leading up to Thanksgiving and then Christmas. And you know, I know it's been a tough year, but, you know, I'll just say this, and I know it's Friday, but after yesterday and the sudden passing of Vaughn McClure, you know, you just, again, you got to take things in perspective and enjoy what you got, man, and enjoy life. And so I'm with you. I love this time of year.
Yeah, man, as we're getting ready to sell the house and I mean, sell the condo, get into the new house, I've been cleaning out the liquor cabinet, Carl, because obviously you don't want to, you know, no sense in carrying half-empty bottles on the trip. So today it's a 7-7. We're going old school today.
Very nice. Seagram's in 7-7.
Yeah, man. My dad drank it when I was a kid. I've told the story before. First time I ever snuck into a bar with my fake ID, and I was 14 with my little mustache. Because back then they had a picture ID. So I was like, your name's Mike DiMizio? Yes, it is. And then get in the bar at the place was called the Lemon Tree in Queens. And the guy's like, what are you drinking? I'm like, well, shoot, what is dad drinking? 7-7. I said it just like that.
Yeah, of course. You overcompensate.
Yeah, and no one batted an eye. So yeah, it was like before McLovin, I was Mike DiMizio. But anyway, there you go. Hey, man, NBA player gets a technical foul for misuse of emojis. I don't know if you guys seen this online. I'll tweet it. I'll have to put another little black hole on the picture, make sure I don't get in trouble on Twitter. But Orlando Magic forward Aaron Gordon accidentally shared an explicit photo of his girlfriend, who, of course, is a model because he's an NBA player, in which one of her breastises was exposed, Carl. One of them was via Awesomeo.com. 25-year-old athlete tried to cover it up with an emoji. So basically, she's topless, and he tries to put an emoji over the nipples, and he didn't place it properly.
Oops.
So her name, Isabella Guedes, is a model and swimwear designer. Well, of course she is. Frequently shares bikini-clad shots with her Instagram followers. Man, what a life. He seems to be doing all right since the Magic were bumped. He's 6'8", and he's got a supermodel girlfriend. He goes, you can say I'm doing all right, he captioned the clip, to which Guedes replied with two fire emojis.
Wow.
So there you go. Wow. You got a beautiful bikini clad woman topless, and you try to put a little smiley face over her breastises. You didn't get it right. That's all right. But good for us. Good for him. Good. Yeah, who cares?
Well, I was going to say, fun. Good for everybody else, though, right?
It's what I call a win-win. Hey, man, some dysfunction with the Clippers, you think? They just announced that Tyronn Lue is going to take over the mess. The Cavs boss now has got to figure this one out. Clippers obviously were considered a favorite, pairing of Kawhi Leonard and Paul George. So here's the latest details. This comes from The Athletic out in L.A. It states, Carl, that Patrick Beverley, Montrezl Harrell, and Lou Williams, let me get up to Magic City for the Wings, amongst others, were specifically bothered with the, quote, preferential treatment given to, take a guess,
Paul George.
Kawhi Leonard.
Oh!
Surprised me when I immediately thought Paul George, too. Grievances with the two-time NBA Finals MVP, the frequency with which he was allowed to take games off to rest his body. Obviously, they're all in the bubble, and he was managing the games, I presume. They let Leonard to live in San Diego. This is before, obviously, the whole season got moved to Orlando. But the team, he was not in L.A., so he was commuting from San Diego to Los Angeles, kind of like what Philip Rivers did for a couple of years, which apparently, Carl, made Kawhi Leonard late for team flights from Los Angeles. So everybody's on the tarmac, and they're waiting for Kawhi. Report states that Leonard was allowed to dictate when he was removed from games as well.
Well,
he kind of earned a lot of those rights by what he did with Toronto, but that doesn't mean anything to guys in another uniform, I guess.
Yeah, see, that's my thing. It's sort of like, you know what, preferential treatment gets, if you're a star, you get preferential treatment. I know guys don't like it, but remember, like when he was in Toronto, the whole, you know, the rest thing that played out there, you know.
After the time he missed in San Antonio, so you know, the load management was always going to be a thing there too.
Exactly, load management. Everybody didn't like that, but they won a championship. I think you've got to have some sacrifices from a player standpoint. See, and this is funny because guys are like, no, man, everybody's got to be treated fairly. No, you don't.
Jimmy Johnson said it in his biography that I don't treat the 53rd guy on the roster the same as I treat Michael Irvin or Troy Aikman or Evan Smith. Sorry, newsflash.
Yeah, so I'm surprised that they were ego-tripping on that. So now you're telling me Ty Lue's got to come in and try to fix that.
Yeah, which might make us maybe think about why Lue, when he came up for a funeral, decided to take an extra day and do his thing. I don't know. Maybe just thinking, you know, because Kawhi gets to do it. There you go.
Yeah.
Hey, man, news out of Alabama, and no big surprise, Nick Saban's second PCR test returned negative. He needs 3 negatives to rule out the original positive as a false result. So if he gets one more, so I presume they've already taken the test today, they'll get the results early tomorrow. I'm going to say, Carl, if I was a betting man, I put it all on Saban will be on the sideline tomorrow night in Tuscaloosa at Bryant Denny.
I think so. It sounds more and more like it, doesn't it? I mean, it's just shaping up that way. And it's funny because we're going to let you hear from Brad Nessler coming up because, again, big game tomorrow. We talked to Ness yesterday. And when this was all going down, Ness was like, it's going to kill Saban to not be on the sideline if that plays out. Now, I got to tell you guys this real quick. The NCAA says that these coaches can't be on the sideline. And I will just give you one example, Mike. Mike Norvell, okay, tested positive. Did not coach his team against Miami. A team lost 52-10, but he was not there. If you test positive, and I think Saban is pressing this because now he's tested negative, so he's going to say, look, this thing's negative. I deserve to be there. What does the NCAA say? What is the ruling
now? SEC policy is apparently you need 3 negatives separated by 24 hours to coach in Saturday's game.
Well, Mike, he's not going to get that.
But he's Nick Saban, so I think they might be some. Here's the thing. If the last Thursday was negative, Friday we're waiting to see Saturday. But, I mean, the Friday test apparently, whatever they got the results to, is negative. I don't know. I have no idea how this will work. I've got a feeling Saban will be there. I'll tell you what. He's stronger than the COVID. This is all a master plan. This was a master plan. And I'll tell you what. If he ain't there, Kirby beating the Tide don't count. Because Saban ain't there. Saban ain't ever lost to an assistant. I'll hang up and listen, damn Tide.
Yeah, I know.
But he gave up a lot of points to Ole Miss. You'll hear what Ness has to say because it's true. He's going to be furious. He'll be fuming if he can't be there on the sideline.
Well, and I know that, you know, you say, well, what changes? We've said this, guys. A lot changes if you're not there. It's easy to put this on Sark. By the way, Sark is the guy who will be handling operations if Saban's not there. Okay, that's already been established. But it's easy to say if this is a close game and Sark blows a decision late, you know, oh, it wouldn't have happened if Saban was there. It's a big deal.
And again, Kirby and the Dogs got this great defense. Alabama's offensive line is, Kirby said, oh, they're just massive. They're big. And they're going to try to run the ball. So, like, can't wait. You know what? The Braves better knock it out so we can just all focus on Georgia on Saturday, right?
Oh, I know.
Hey, man,
know.
Let's hit the closing bell there back at the ranch, Ken. All right, good day. It's brought to you by our buddies at Atlantic Capital Bank. Dow Jones finishes 100 points higher, Carl. We had a 3-day losing streak, so they snapped that. Retail sales data is up, which is some good news. People are spending some money. S&P was up just about a half a point. Dow Jones was up 112. NASDAQ, though, was down 42. That's our closing bell brought to you by Atlantic Capital Bank. We fuel prosperity. All right, on this day, it is, the 16th of October. Tim Robbins got a birthday today, Carl. As we said, hope is a good thing, right, Red? He's 62.
Wow.
Nuke LaLoosh.
Yeah, I met him. Ironically, this is going to make you laugh. So 2007, I'm coming to Atlanta for the Final Four, and I go to Ted's downtown, and he's there. And he's I didn't know at that point whether he lived here, if he was here for whatever. Right. But I'm like, man, that guy looks familiar. And literally, as soon as I said that, an older lady came up to him, and I saw them talking, and he's laughing, and she walks past me, and I go, is that who? And she goes, yes, that's him. That's Shawshank Redemption. That's him. And he's at that point, again, it's 2007, so he signs an autograph for
her.
That's
cool.
And we just acknowledged each other, and I said, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm here with my kids. And he was there just hanging out, having dinner, man. And it was a very casual atmosphere. But it's just so funny. I met him at a Ted's restaurant.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
He's a tall guy. We saw him at a Ranger game. Him and Sue, when he was still with Susan Sarandon, they always had Ranger tickets. They'd always sit behind the glass. So,
that's
he's a tall dude, man. And again, I got a drunk Tony the Mailman with me about 10 years ago going, Nuke! Nukalush. Like, will you shut up, please? Anyway, it's his birthday today. Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Tremendous bass player, or as they say in Alabama, a bassist. He's 58 today. John Mayer, he might be a creep, but he gets all the chicks. He's 43. Bryce Harper turns 28. Your former teammate here at the station, Cordell Stewart, turns 48 today.
Yes, he does. Stu, happy birthday. I sent him a birthday wish. I don't know if he's listening, but he does still live here in the A. And Sire, his son, is doing really well, man. Right. Be on the lookout for his boy. He can play. I say hoop. He can play football.
And former girlfriend of John Fricke, Angela Lansbury, turns 95 today.
Would you stop it? Would you?
Murder, She Wrote.
Would you stop it? Now, here's what's crazy about that. I was flipping through the other night, and it came on. And it was, you know, they filmed it back then, Mike, in like not in widescreen.
Right.
And the screen changed, and I'm like, Murder, She Wrote?
That's how long ago.
Oh, man.
I know. Yeah, man. Oscar Wilde's birthday today. Eugene O'Neill, speaking of a great playwright. Michael Collins, for those who know your Irish history. And I got to throw this one in. One of my dad's old drinking buddies. He actually, Carl, when that top 50 players list came out back in the day, he was on it. Dave DeBuscher played baseball and basketball. He was the Knicks GM, the alleged frozen envelope when Patrick Ewing got selected.
Yes.
I used to work at a bar in West Hampton Beach called the Artful Dodger. And Dave DeBuscher got to be good friends with my dad. My dad used to come out when my mom was yelling at him. And my dad is like, you want to talk about some big guys, man? Went, oh, what a great guy. He passed away at 62 because he got after it. All right, real quick, on this date in 1987, my brother, what happened in 87? It was a tremendous, human interest story.
I was going to say stock market 87, no?
That was, Black Monday. That's actually around that time. Baby Jessica gets out of the well. For those for millennials, remember the TV was just becoming cable at that time. 18-month-year-old Jessica McClure, she's trapped in a well in Midland, Texas. And this went on for, 58 hours, and they got her out, and she was okay. The El Camino introduced on this date in 1957. And 10 years ago today, our good friends, Carl, everybody loves Flint Flossie. Schmang It debuted. I want to smash it. I want to bang it. I want to schmang it, girl. You want some fun? Look up Flint Flossie on YouTube. We got to get him. Every time we've had Flint scheduled to come on, some big story has broken. But anyway.
He's got a new book out.
Yes.
And yeah, we do. All right. We'll talk. We got to get Flint on. We got to get him on.
Blue Turquoise Jeep Records and Flint Flossie. That's our man.
All right, man. We're coming back. Top 3 at 6 next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.